Done.
Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Isn't that anything? Lob pass on the inbound. Giannis stuffs it down on the alley-oop. Oh, what a play to draw up at the end of a half.
Let's Talk starts now.
Giannis back to Rollins. Rollins fires up a three, and he sticks it right in front of his bench. Ryan Rollins.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, the Bucks did what they needed to do tonight, taking care of business against, to say, an undermanned New Orleans Pelicans team, is putting it mildly. 11 players on the injury report tonight for the Pels. All out. So you saw quite a few 10-day players and two-way players in this one tonight. You knew coming in, you're in a good spot, knowing you got to win two games the rest of the way to lock up that 5 seed. You still had a chance tonight. Coming into tonight, I should say, to get to the 4 seed. But the Indiana Pacers win tonight, slams the door shut on that. So best case scenario for the Bucks is the 5 seed. The worst case scenario is the 6 seed, and we may know which one of the two the Bucks will be tomorrow night. With this win and the Pistons coming back to beat the New York Knicks, it sets the stage for tomorrow when the Bucks are in Detroit for the first of two against the Pistons. If they win, then we know they're the 5 seed. If they lose, it sets up a big one Sunday afternoon at Fiserv Forum, a national game. The Bucks and the Pistons, and the winner will be the 5. You can't even start to project, well, if the Bucks get the 5, they're going to play this team, or if they drop down to 6, they'll play the New York Knicks, because of how close 3 and 4 is now. It's one game separating the Knicks and the Pacers. The Knicks hold the tiebreaker, so Indiana has to win out. The Knicks need to lose out. Still on the table there. And you do wonder if we see any type of standings gymnastics here for a team like the New York Knicks. That brings up the conversation of, hey, do we maybe want to drop down a seed line and not have to worry about the Boston Celtics in the second round of the playoffs? But as we've learned and experienced the past 2 years, you got to get into the second round. You got to win in the first round to get there first. So it's going to be a very, very fascinating weekend here for the Bucks. A big one tomorrow night. I expect it to be a very charged atmosphere there for the Detroit Pistons, who are back in the playoffs for the first time since they played the Bucks in the first round back in 2019. They have tripled their win total from a season ago. Been a very good home team as well. And it's a young team that is now getting to experience the playoffs for the first time. So I expect a rabid atmosphere there. Doc Rivers said the same thing after the game and said it should be good for our guys to get them ready for the postseason. And I'm excited to see if we can match what that crowd is going to be in Detroit tomorrow night. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A big one tomorrow. Look, frankly, not a whole lot to take from this game other than another strong performance from Kevin Porter Jr., but a big one tomorrow night. So I do want to spend most of the time previewing that matchup with the Pistons and taking a look at the rest of the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. More after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
Let's go through the Pelicans tonight with a 25-point win, 136-111 final. 20 points off the bench from Kevin Porter Jr. It's his fourth straight game scoring 20 or more. And I mentioned this on the postgame too. He got to the free throw line 9 times once again. Second consecutive game he has done that. And in this 4-game stretch of 20-point performances, he's gotten to the free throw line 27 times. So there's a lot to like about what you're seeing right now from Kevin Porter Jr. The way he's scoring, the way he's doing it efficiently, the fact that he's getting to the free throw line, and his defense. 5 steals in 2 straight games. We heard Doc Rivers in his brief comments after the game saying, look, there's something about those lineups where KPJ and Gary Trent Jr. are on the floor together. That before the game, Doc was asked about some individual defenders and Kevin Porter Jr. specifically, whether or not he is a little bit too much of a gambler, per se. And Doc was quick to say, I don't think that's how I would describe Kevin Porter Jr. I think that definitely applies to Gary Trent Jr. But with Scoot, he just has that length and his ability to read passing lanes. And that's what you saw once again tonight. So, again, we talked about this a couple of times in this past week, but you go back to that trade that netted you Kevin Porter Jr. And if we just look at on-the-court performance, there was a lot of reasons to be skeptical for the basketball player at the time of the move. He wasn't having a particularly good season with the Los Angeles Clippers, but once they signed Ben Simmons on the buyout market, it basically meant Kevin Porter Jr. no longer had a role on that team. And from the moment he arrived here in Milwaukee, one of the messages that he's said was, like, I just wanted to be somewhere where I was wanted. And that's what I've seen from this organization, from Doc Rivers, from my teammates. They've embraced me, and I've really leaned into that. Doc has said one of the biggest reasons why you're seeing these types of performances from KPJ of late is he's playing downhill. He's attacking the rim. You know, he's always had that mid-range game. And to be clear, that's going to be important when you get to the playoffs, that elbow jumper that he's able to knock down. But his ability to draw fouls on threes because of his burst and his quickness, it makes it difficult to defend him out there on the perimeter. That's been a big piece of his game, his playmaking, and his defense. It makes things very intriguing for either of the two matchups you're going to have in the first round of the playoffs. It's going to be the Knicks or the Pacers. We know that. You're going to have to contend with either Jalen Brunson or Tyrese Halliburton. And look, I've said this many times. I am not going to say the Bucks are a better team or are better off without Damian Lillard. But what it changes is your defense and the length that you can throw out there at the point guard position. You do have to be careful with a player like Ryan Rollins, his first real taste of the playoffs, and for Kevin Porter Jr. as well. Your first taste of the playoffs going up against a guy, if it is the Knicks, like a Jalen Brunson and his ability to draw fouls, that is something to keep an eye on. But you have not even much more capable length in your defense in the backcourt now, and it makes things intriguing. And the other thing of note is, in terms of the best four-man groupings in the league, what we have slowly started to fall into here and see develop over the course of these past few weeks. Since the All-Star break, the best four-man lineup in the league is a part of the group we saw close the game last night for the Bucks. Last night, the way you closed out the, or two nights ago, I should say, the way you closed out the Minnesota Timberwolves was Giannis at the five, Bobby Portis, you had Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., and A.J. Green. Take Bobby Portis out of the mix. That group's the best four-man lineup in the league by way of net rating since after the All-Star break. Giannis, Gary Trent Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., and A.J. Green, whoever the fifth player is on the floor with him, that's been the best lineup in the league. And Doc has talked about that too. Look, analytically, that's a really good lineup. It works for us. We like a lot of what it brings on both ends of the floor. And now we have Bobby Portis back. We have the ability to say it's either Bobby that's playing with Giannis or it's Brook Lopez, and we're leaning into our size. That it's taken some time, but it does feel like slowly but surely Bucks started to kind of lean into their identity and learn, hey, our identity is really on the defensive end of the floor, especially earlier in the season when that group was playing at elite levels. Still the 12th best defense in the league, and that's the consistency that the Bucks have found over the course of the year. They are number 12 in defensive rating. They are number 12 in offensive rating, and they are number 12 in net rating. Now, obviously, you'd like the offensive rating and the net rating to be a little higher than that, but coming into the season, if any of us were told, hey, the Bucks are going to have the 12th best defense, and it's consistently going to be around the top 10, we would have been ecstatic. The offense has started to get better. It's not just Kevin Porter Jr. It's not just the play of Ryan Rollins. I think you're starting to see a lot more recognition and guys understanding role clarity and what it is they're looking for, and especially how much it's changed without Damian Lillard and with Giannis having to run the point. And again, it's that delicate conversation of, look, things have, by the numbers, gotten better with Damian Lillard off the floor. That does not mean this group is better without Damian Lillard, but I think you've started to find some things in his absence where if he is able to come back in the postseason, I think you've started to see this is how we need to incorporate Damian Lillard in when he returns, and this is the style that we need to play. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks take down the New Orleans Pelicans. And now they set up a big one tomorrow night in Detroit against the Pistons. We'll preview that game, how the Pistons have been playing, how the Pacers have been playing as well, and how the Bucks look since the All-Star break by the numbers. What are some of the trends that have stood out here? We'll get into that discussion coming up after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this.
Bucks take down the Pelicans tonight inside of Fiserv Forum very comfortably. Again, a Pelicans team that had 11 players on the injury reports, and all of those players missed this game, so you had to lean on some two-way guys, some 10-day contracts as well, and you knew you needed to win this game. I was curious if we would see Giannis in this one, and talking to a few others before the game, too, Giannis was on the injury report as questionable with a non-COVID illness. But when Doc Rivers was asked, is Giannis going to be able to go? I think we all expected to hear either immediate no or, I don't know, we're waiting to see. But it was immediately, yeah, he's good, which I think surprised a lot of us, knowing you got night two of a back-to-back tomorrow against Detroit. That game, if you lose tonight inexplicably to this Pelicans team, or if the Pistons win, as they did against the New York Knicks, that game is extremely important. So I was very surprised we did see Giannis tonight. I thought it would be an easy way to get him a day here and go into that game tomorrow where, look, best-case scenario, you sit Giannis today, you win, you beat a Pelicans team that had 11 players listed as out. I've said this before with a few injury reports, but it really rang true tonight. If you can name them, on the New Orleans Pelicans, they ain't playing tonight. It was a golden opportunity, and I don't want to criticize it too much. You won. But this was an opportunity to say, look, we can beat this Pelicans team with our second unit. They're not looking to win the game. We are. Let's get them some rest. Let's get some other guys some rest, and let's go into that game tomorrow if we need it. Refresh. Now, because you were able to balloon that lead in the third quarter, you did get quite a bit of rest for Giannis, for Brooke Lopez, for everybody in the starting lineup. Nobody played more than 28 minutes, and that was Kyle Kuzma. But you're both playing on night two of a back-to-back. The Pistons are at home. Pistons stayed on the East Coast. They were at home against the Knicks tonight. And now you got to lose an hour, go to Detroit, get ready to play a big one tomorrow. And look, the Bucks are in the advantageous spot in the sense that they only have to win one of these two games. But that's a Pistons team that feels like they're playing with house money. They won 14 games all of last season. They had a 28-game losing streak. It's a young team that has played incredibly well under their new head coach, J.B. Bickerstaff. Cade Cunningham has been playing extremely well. 36 points tonight in the win against the Knicks. Thoroughly outplayed Jalen Brunson. It's a young team that believes. And it's going to be a charged atmosphere there tomorrow night. As Doc Rivers said, look, it's a big test for our team. You know, it's going to feel like a playoff game. And I'm excited to see if we can match what the Pistons and what that crowd is going to give us tomorrow. But the long story short, that's the spot you'd rather be in, to only have to win one of those two games versus saying, hey, you got to win both of these. But if you don't win that game tomorrow, that sets up a lot of pressure for the Sunday afternoon national matinee game, another area where the Bucks have struggled in the past, those early games, a noon tip-off on Sunday with the winner getting the 5 seed and the loser dropping down to 6. Now, we don't know, right, what that means. Who's going to play who? That depends on what happens with the Knicks and with the Indiana Pacers. So it's one game right now that is separating the Knicks and Indiana. The Knicks have the tiebreaker. So the Pacers need to win out, and the Knicks would have to lose out in order for the Pacers to jump up to the 3 seed. Tomorrow night, The Pacers host the Orlando Magic. Orlando is pretty well entrenched as the seventh seed right now. But again, you don't want to drag that out and leave that to chance going into Sunday. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch. The Knicks are playing the Cavs. The Cavs have long since clinched the one seed. The Cavs weren't playing all of their regulars tonight. So it's going to be even more interesting to see if Cleveland does the same thing and says the guys that sat tonight, they'll play. The rest of them are going to sit tomorrow. So there is no easy, hey, this team got an easy schedule the rest of the way. This team has a tough schedule the rest of the way. We may not know until Sunday, going into Sunday. That's what the league is going to want. The league is going to want the Pacers to win this game tomorrow, the Knicks to lose the game, the Pistons to win the game, to set up all those scenarios for Sunday, where we don't know who's three, we don't know who's four, we don't know who's five, and we don't know who's six. All we know, if you're a Bucks fan, is you're going to play either the Pacers or the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs, and you're going to start the playoffs on the road. For the first time since the 2017-2018 season, the Bucks will not have home court advantage in that first round series. Now, maybe that's a good thing. I know going back all the way to that 2021 magical run that brought the Bucks their second ever NBA championship, I remember on this very show, we had a similar conversation. I believe we started it in the Brooklyn Nets series, but you just looked at how the Bucks were playing. That Nets series, to a lesser extent, the Hawks series, you did drop one of your home games in that. And then in the finals against the Phoenix Suns, where you lose the first two games on the road, you win the next four games. As that series, or as that playoff run, I should say, progressed, I remember having the conversation of, well, is it a better thing with this group to, I wouldn't say be the underdog necessarily, but to not have home court advantage? Because, look, it's an entirely different team in terms of personnel and coach and makeup of that group. But it's a Bucks team that we've seen get off to slow starts in games and certainly in playoff series. So if that's going to be the case, get that out of the way and start to come into your stride once you get the series to shift back to Milwaukee and get home games. That seemed to really propel the Bucks in 2021. And you're going to have to hope the same applies here because, again, you're going to be on the road to start the playoffs. You will not have home court advantage in the first round. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you will not have home court advantage in the second round. I don't see any of those play-in teams beating the Cavaliers or the Boston Celtics, and that's assuming you get through the first round of the playoffs. But should be quite a setting tomorrow night in Detroit for the Bucks and the Pistons. I mentioned some numbers I want to get into and some of the trends that we've seen both after the All-Star break and since January 1, because especially in this conversation and debate over, well, who would you rather play if you're the Bucks, the Pacers, or the Knicks, I think we're not really giving the Pacers the credit that they deserve, and I think we're overlooking a lot of numbers with what Indiana has started to build up now for more than half of a season. So we'll get into those numbers and trends coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk.
136-111, the final inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks take care of the New Orleans Pelicans tonight and now wrap up the season with two games against the Detroit Pistons. So, our favorite site, playoff status, still has the Bucks with a 77% chance to get the 5 seed. And remember, the only scenario from here on out, where the Bucks are not the 5 seed, they would need to lose both games to the Pistons. So lose tomorrow night in Detroit and then lose Sunday afternoon here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Indiana Pacers have only a 3% chance of catching the New York Knicks. And that scenario is Indiana has to win both games. The Knicks have to lose both remaining games because the New York Knicks have the tiebreaker. The Pacers play the Magic tomorrow. The Knicks host the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow. The Magic are guaranteed to be the seventh seed. So they're going to host the 7-8 game. They don't have anything to play for in that game against Indiana. So that's where it at least makes it interesting for the Pacers and what they have in front of them the rest of the way. They have the Magic, who again are locked into seven. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have already clinched the one seed, and we have traditionally seen a lot of teams treat that final regular season game as a way to maybe play your starters just a little bit, play them a quarter, a little more than that, just so there's not that whole rest versus rust conversation that goes on. But those are the final two games for the Indiana Pacers. So it is not inconceivable to see Indiana win their final two games. I do think it's inconceivable to see the New York Knicks drop both of their final two, unless, again, we see some more of that standings shenanigans that we seem to see every year with a handful of teams. And if the Knicks just say, look, it's in our best interest if we get to that seed line that doesn't draw the Boston Celtics in the second round. We're fine with finishing fourth because we'd rather take our chances with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But what we know is the Cavs are the one seed, the Celtics are the two seed, and the Orlando Magic are the seventh seed. We basically know the Miami Heat are going to be the 10 seed. The rest is still unwritten here between Bucks and Pistons, Pacers and Knicks, and then those middle teams in the play-in tournament, the Hawks, the Bulls. Who's going to finish on that eight line and get two cracks at getting in? Who's going to be in two straight elimination games to reach the playoffs? So I mentioned we've seen some trends starting to set into place here, and we said the Bucks right now are 12th in offense, 12th in defense, 12th in net rating for the entire season. If we look at these numbers since January 1st, this is what stands out to me when we talk about the Pacers, and still the high probability it's going to be the Pacers that you play in the first round versus the Knicks. Two very different teams, two teams that have had very different paths so far this season. And in many ways, it does feel like those two teams are included in a group of deja vu teams that I'll explain in just a second here. But since January 1st, and this is why I keep saying, look, I'm not ready to just write off a matchup with the Knicks and say this isn't the best outcome for the Bucks. You got to play the Indiana Pacers. Because since January 1st, there is only three teams that have had a better record than have the Indiana Pacers. Pacers have gone 33-13 since losing to the Bucks in a game that saw them blow a, I believe, 17-point lead on New Year's Eve. They were 9-14 at one point this season. That loss to the Bucks on New Year's Eve dropped them to 16-18. They've gone 33-13 since. The Cavs have gone 34-13 since January 1st. The Celtics have gone 35-12 since January 1st. So for these last 3 months, the Indiana Pacers have basically been a game to two games back of the two teams that have long since been the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I think we're discounting how good Indiana has been this season and just letting that passion blind us and say, hey, I want revenge against the Pacers. I want that matchup in the first round. And just looking at, well, this team has been fourth or fifth or sixth for most of the season. This team has quietly been one of the best teams in the league for going on 3 months now. Third best record in the Eastern Conference, and the only teams they're behind, again, have been very, very good. That fourth team, or that third team that they're behind, is the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have gone 39-9 since New Year's Day. The Pacers with a 118 offensive rating in that stretch. That is sixth best in the league, looking closer and closer to where they were a season ago. Their defensive rating in those games is a 112.2, which is 10th best. And the Pacers also have the sixth best net rating. So fourth best record in the league, sixth best net rating in the league since January 1st. And that's the interesting part of all of this. The Pacers have the sixth best net rating since January 1st. The Pistons have the seventh best net rating since January 1st. Another team that's been very good for a prolonged stretch now, 30-18 since the start of the calendar year. The Bucks have the 12th best net rating since January 1st, right in line with their season average at 2.5. And then you get the New York Knicks, who are 27-20 for the last 3 months, a 1.3 net rating, which is 14th in the league. Yeah, the Knicks have swept the Bucks in the regular season here, and those first two games were not pretty. Even that last one here inside of Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee wasn't the greatest showing for the Bucks. Bucks weren't at full strength. The Knicks were down some guys too. The Bucks have changed quite a bit since those first two matchups earlier in the year. And I think the big thing is, even though the record says 0-3 against New York, I think post-trade deadline, the Bucks are in a much better spot to match up with the Knicks than they were earlier in the season. When you think about a team that really had one way to play, they've added more youth. They've added more athleticism. They've added more defense to a defense that's already been very good. And most importantly, when you look at how that roster is stacked now and some of those lineups and four-man groupings and beyond that we talked about earlier, most importantly for the Bucks against either of those two teams they're going to play in the first round, if we are to assume, and I think we should, that Damian Lillard is not going to be available for that first-round series and who knows beyond that, you have added more size and length and defensive ability in the backcourt against two teams that you're really going to need that against, whether it be Jalen Brunson, whether it be Tyrese Halliburton. I think you're in a much better spot to defend there. Now, the Knicks have more bodies that they can throw at Giannis to slow him down. I'm not going to say stop him, but you look up and down the roster, you look at OG Anunoby, who had a terrific game offensively and defensively against Giannis in that last matchup. You got Karl-Anthony Towns, not known for his defense. The point is, it's a big body to at least put out there as a traffic cone. Mitchell Robinson is back. So they have more of those options than, say, the Indiana Pacers. But I think the way the Bucks have kind of found their offense here of late, and most importantly, how they've been able to change things and add to their defense, especially in the backcourt, that to me is one of the bigger things that stands out, why I say, look, I think the Bucks are fine in either one of those two series in terms of the matchups. You got to execute, you got to hit shots, but I think they're fine in terms of their defense and the matchups that they can throw out there. So that's what we've seen since January 1st, and that's why I keep saying, look, I know it's easy to look at Indiana and say that's the team you want. You want revenge on them after the playoffs last year, but let's just be careful here for a second. Let's give the Indiana Pacers some credit for how they've played for an extended stretch of play now. Third best team in the Eastern Conference since January 1st. So either one of these two opponents is going to be challenging, but it is not mission impossible, even if you don't have Damian Lillard. Now, we've seen even bigger splits for the Bucks since the All-Star break. We'll dig into those numbers and start to preview that matchup tomorrow night in Detroit against the Pistons after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. Feel the rain on your skin.
No one else can feel it for you. So we went through the post-January 1 numbers for the Bucks, for the Pacers, for the Knicks, for the Pistons. And what stands out is how good the Indiana Pacers have been since the calendar flipped to 2025. If we look at all of these teams after the All-Star break, and that is really the important one for the Bucks because of the changes that came to their roster. You made the deals at the trade deadline, which was, a week, 10 days before the All-Star break. But we didn't really get a chance to see those guys really start to carve out what their role was and find that clarity until you came into the second half of the season. And look, with the Knicks, for the post-January 1 numbers, for the post-All-Star break numbers, you can point to, well, March 6th, Jalen Brunson went down with an ankle injury and did not return until over the weekend here. So basically a month that he missed. Well, the Bucks can say Bobby Portis was out for 25 games, starting at the conclusion of the All-Star break. So there's those scenarios for every team. But it is a pretty decent chunk of a sample size here. And in this post-All-Star break portion of the season, Bucks have won 17 games, which is tied with the Lakers and the Clippers for the fifth most in the league. The Thunder have gone 22-4. The Celtics really have the look of a team that was simply bored with the regular season and now have gotten their guys back and have started to play like they did a season ago. They're 20-5, are the Celtics. Cavs are 19-7. And look, the pace that the Cavaliers were playing at, I don't think was sustainable. It was in many ways similar to what we saw from the Bucks in that 2019-20 season, where at one point, Bucks were on pace for 73 wins. They didn't lose consecutive games until right before the season shut down, when they had a three-game losing streak. That's kind of what you've seen from the Indiana Pacers, or excuse me, from the Cleveland Cavaliers so far this season by the numbers and by way of where the offensive efficiency was earlier in the season. Still very good after the All-Star break at a 120.5 for the Pacers. Said it again for the Cavs. Still third best in the league. But we've seen their defense take a bit of a hit. They have the 15th rated defense in the league, middle of the pack, after the All-Star break. Bucks are 14th. Bucks offense has started to come up in the second half of the season, post-All-Star break. Again, not the ranking number you would strive for at 12, but it's up to 117. Net rating has started to increase as well. They're winning more games. Their 4.4 net rating is 10th best in the league after the All-Star break. But what really stands out for the Bucks in this post-All-Star break schedule is one of the things. It's not the number one thing per se, but one of the things that typically bodes very well for you in the postseason. And that's their play in clutch. And it's not so much the wins in the clutch. Chris Finch talked about this the other night when the Timberwolves are in town, because the Minnesota Timberwolves have not been great in clutch games this season. They played a lot of them. They haven't been the best. And Anthony Edwards has really struggled. And post-All-Star break, the Timberwolves have played 12 clutch games. They're 5-7 in those games. After the All-Star break, the Bucks have played 17 clutch games, which is the most in the league. And they have won 11 of those 17. No other team has won 10 in the second half of the season. Bucks defense in the clutch has been incredible all season long. For the full season, that defensive rating for the Bucks, best in the league. But the offense, down in the bottom five, that was the big, big problem with them. After the All-Star break, with what you've started to see with Kevin Porter Jr. and some of the other new faces and how KPJ has taken on a role down the stretch in those important moments of games, we've seen the offense grow for the Bucks in those clutch moments. And if we look at offensive rating, defensive rating, all of it, the Bucks have had the second best defense in clutch games after the All-Star break. And offensively, they've been in the middle of the pack, but it's markedly better from being down there in the bottom. And that's led to a net rating that is third best in the league for the Bucks in the clutch after the All-Star break. 28.6. And what is noticeable about this is, for the most part, there's not really outliers in that mix. The Houston Rockets are number one. Houston right now is the 2 seed in the Western Conference. Chicago Bulls are number two, and the Bulls had that stretch where they had been playing much, much better to elevate themselves in the mix in the play-in tournament. You got the Bucks at third. The Oklahoma City Thunder are number four, and the Indiana Pacers are number five. So that's one of the other things that stands out. We've seen a lot more role clarity. We've seen Giannis take on much more, and this offense really funnel through Giannis once again, as we saw through all those years when the Bucks eventually got to an NBA championship. You've seen role players not only find that clarity but step up with some big games like a Kevin Porter Jr. You think about the bench that the Bucks have suddenly assembled here and the offensive production you're getting from them. 70 points tonight from the second unit. That is a season high for the Bucks. And you suddenly think about a group that has Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., Bobby Portis Jr., all the juniors on that second lineup, second unit, A.J. Green. The scoring that you get from that unit with the defense you're getting from your starting five and the health, right? I know you don't have Damian Lillard yet. We'll find out about Jericho Sims relatively soon here and whether or not he's going to be available to rejoin the team. But knock on wood, you got Giannis. And that's the biggest thing for this group going forward, because you didn't have him last year. You didn't really have him the year before that either. And we've seen what that meant in the first round of the playoffs. So tomorrow night's a big one. Tomorrow night you head to Detroit to take on the Pistons again. You win that game, you're the 5 seed. And then the only thing to keep an eye on is what happens in those final two games with the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks, and whether or not it leaves the game on Sunday meaningless against the Pistons. Pacers, again, play the Orlando Magic tomorrow night. They tip the same time you tip in Detroit. Orlando has nothing to play for. They are the 7 seed. Indiana needs to win out and need the Knicks to lose out to get the 3 seed. And the Knicks have the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow. They wrap up the season Sunday with the Brooklyn Nets. The Pacers wrap up the season Sunday with the same Cleveland Cavaliers. But the Bucks and the Pistons tomorrow night from Detroit, 6 o'clock tip. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.